Welcome to Steppin' Out, a reality radio show where you'll hear real people sharing their true stories of what it was like to go over the edge and find their way back. And now, Steppin' Out.
This is the show that brings you inside a 12-step meeting. This is the show that's dedicated to carrying the message of hope and recovery from active addiction. My name is Mike, and this is Steppin' Out. And we're talking with young people in recovery tonight, and we've just heard from two really good speakers. I want to once again thank both Corey and Jenny for sharing their experience, strength, and hope with us. And up next, we have our friend Katya. Katya, welcome to Steppin' Out.
Hey, my name's Katya. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Katya.
Hey, welcome.
Hi.
We got a live one, folks.
We got a live one. So just jumping into my story. I like the other speakers. I grew up with a family that has alcoholism in it. My mom actually, both of my parents dabbled in and out of another 12-step program called Al-Anon, which is for family and friends of alcoholics and drug addicts. And so I was raised in kind of like a 12-step conscious household. And alcoholism was discussed. It was talked about that I was predisposed to the disease. I mean, it was basically like, because I was actually taught once I got sober that alcoholism is a disease. But generally, I was just kind of an awkward kid, you know? I felt uncomfortable. I was always, like, I always kind of felt like a puzzle piece that was just trying to be rammed into like, this giant puzzle, you know? And I just didn't fit. It was, like, never the right fit. I just never felt like I fit in. And I always felt like I was trying to force, you know?
Katya, what sets you as an awkward kid, what sets you apart from millions of other awkward kids out there?
Well, I mean, the thing about it is what I found out is there actually isn't anything, right? Okay. I just felt awkward.
Okay.
I just felt apart from, like, I didn't feel like a human being as a kid.
Okay.
And I didn't really know why, you know? And that's something that I've found with other friends that have alcoholism,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, we never really felt like we fit in. We all just never felt like we were a part of anything, you know?
So it's not so much the feeling, it's what you had to do in desperation about that feeling.
Sure.
Is that right?
Okay. Sure. I was just terrified to go to school. I didn't understand, like, I would walk into kindergarten, I didn't understand how kids knew how to talk to each other, and, just do basic, normal things, you know? And, when I was 10, I transferred schools, and I started junior high school, and, I was so terrified of the other kids that I started faking sick, and, I would stay home from school, I would fake medical conditions, and what ended up happening is I faked my way into hospitals, and I missed 2/3 of my 5th grade year, and did the same thing when I transferred into high school. Basically, what ended up happening is, in faking sick in these hospitals, they gave me lots of pills, and it made sense to me to take way more than the prescribed dose. Like, the first medication that I was given was Klonopin at 10, and so I would just eat. I would, like, I was told to have one, you know, at a specific time, and it made sense to me to eat half the bottle, you know?
And you just somehow instinctively knew that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
That could be a sign, right?
Well, the thing about it, I mean, with drugs and alcohol in general, you know, it was something that I knew how to do, you know? It was just something that I intuitively knew how to do, you know? Nobody had to tell me to drink more, right? Like, I just did it. And actually, the first time I got drunk, where I was, like, going to get drunk, you know? I was 14. And what's funny is actually, like, I stopped faking sick when I started drinking because I didn't need it anymore, you know? That terrifying, crippling fear of people, right? Like, I didn't really have it anymore because when I put alcohol into my system, suddenly I felt like a human being and suddenly things kind of made sense, right? And most importantly, you know, like, I have always had that kind of, like, oh my God, like, hamster wheel of a brain, right? And so what would happen with me is when I put alcohol or when I put drugs into my system, it shuts it up. So I drank for the first time and was like, this is what I was born to do. This is what I was born to do. This is what I'm supposed to do, right? And so it stopped mattering, you know? I went from being a pretty decent student at a pretty prestigious school, you know, to sitting across the street from the school, you know? And I started smoking pot, and I went really quickly from, like, to smoking, like, up to, like, 12 times a day, you know? I just needed something in my system all the time.
How old were you at this point?
Oh, I was still 14.
Okay.
My drinking career really wasn't, it really wasn't that long, you know? And so what would happen, right, is, like, I remember, like, when I was drinking and doing drugs, like, I would get up in the morning, you know, and I would have this feeling, like, in my gut, you know, and I just needed to just get something. I just needed to quiet it. I just needed to, like, oh, my God, I just needed to go. And, like, I would get something into my system. I would feel relief, like, this feeling of, like, oh. And then my next thought would be, like, I need more. Where can I get more? I need more. Everything, I mean, I didn't really try that many drugs, you know, but everything, and actually, like, that was a big problem for me, actually getting sober, because I thought I was too young to be an alcoholic, and I didn't think that I'd done enough drugs or drank enough to be an alcoholic. What ended up happening, you know, is, like, I just always wanted more, and I was always uncomfortable, you know, unless I had something in my system, and then suddenly I was a human being. You know, then suddenly I could talk to people, you know, I could do the things that I wasn't afraid to do, you know, which was for me, like, base general, like, human interactions. And, because I don't know how to deal with life. Like, I don't know how to deal with, like, handing in papers. Like, I don't know how to deal with, like, facing my parents. I don't know how to deal with being wrong, you know? So, and drinking just shut my head up, you know?
Like,
and
we hear on this show, the voices that go through the alcoholic and drug addict's head.
Absolutely. Mm. You know? It was like, and it was so black and white, you know? It was so, like, this idea of, like, either I was, like, this, like, tremendous ego, you know? Like, I am blah, blah, blah. Or, but really, at the end of the day, like, I felt like a piece of garbage, you know? And there was never a balance in between. It was either, it was one or the other.
What do they call that in the rooms? An egomaniac with an
inferiority complex. High ego, low self-esteem. Yeah. You know, like, that's me. Like, I'm the poster child for that, you know? And balance and I never really got along very well. Consistency and I, you know, consistently doing stuff, sober, right? Like, it's been a gift of sobriety, and I don't even know how I do it sometimes. So it got worse and worse, right? And it's like, it was really hard, because it was like, young people, and this was kind of touched upon when Corey was talking, right? But, like, young people drink to get drunk, right? Like, young people do drugs to get high. It's not necessarily, like, socially drinking, right? Young people, like, kids in high school, kids in college, right? Like, it's kind of named as part of being the experience of, like, being a kid, you know,
so
being a
young
adult.
So they do it totally for the effect produced by doing the drug or drinking the alcohol.
By drugs and alcohol.
Okay.
Right? And it's like, but with me, what set me apart was, like, I mean, I would go to school, and it would be like, because I got sober in high school. Like, I got sober when I was 16.
Wow.
And I came into AA when I was 15. And I would.
So you really never had a legal drink?
No, like, really never had a legal drink.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, actually, It's been a crazy ride. Like, I did 5 years of high school. Four of them were sober and Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't know. I just remember, like, getting to school, you know, I had, like, a zero period math class, which was in high school. It's ridiculous. It's like 7:30 in the morning. And, I was like, no, I'll just go and I'll just get, like, a little high, and then I'll go to class. Right. I would get there early.
Is that possible to get a little high?
No.
Okay.
But, like, that's the whole thing about the insanity of alcoholism, right? It's not the crazy things that I do when I'm drunk.
Right.
You know? The insanity of alcoholism is the fact that, like, every single time that I put alcohol into my system or drugs into my system, I don't know when I'm going to stop, you know? I don't know if I'm going to end up pantsless in another state, you know? Or, like, if I'm going to end up home at mom and dad's house, right? Like, I don't know. Like, the insanity is that, like, it makes sense, you know? Alcohol and drugs just made sense.
But only an alcoholic and an addict experiences that, right? Like a normal social drinker, is it true that they can pretty much drink however much they want and just shut it off whenever they want?
Well, let's just say I haven't met a normal person that...
You don't hang out with those people, huh?
No, I mean, like, no. Like, I've actually talked to plenty of non-alcoholic friends, And I mean, that isn't their experience. I can say that. I can't really speak for, like, non-alcoholics as a whole.
Okay.
You know? But what I can say is that the alcoholics that I've met feel that way, had that experience. The non-alcoholics that I met thus far have not had that experience.
Okay.
And it's just, like, that idea of, like, once I started, I couldn't stop, you know? And it's, like, this unscratchable itch, right? Like, that first time was magical, but every other time I was trying to get there, you know? I was trying to get there, and I couldn't fully get that feeling.
Chasing that first high.
Oh, my God, you know? And, I mean, a month after I was drinking every day. 2 weeks after I was smoking pot every day. I was popping pills all over the place, you know? Every time I touched something, right, like Robitussin, for example, was mentioned, I would drink so much Robitussin that, like, my body, I think they were seizures, right? I think they were seizures. I don't actually physically know. I just remember losing control of my body and then doing it again, you know? And that's the insanity. That's the insanity. I just didn't know when I was going to stop. And I didn't see that there was anything wrong with it. And also, it was like, it always made sense to get drunk. It always made sense to get high. Like, it was just, in that moment, like, this idea of, like, a strange mental blank spot, you know? Like, that period right before, you know, I would pick up something. Like, it just made sense, you know?
Okay.
And it's like, that a whole idea of, like, of, I just thought it was, like, a matter of willpower. You know, I just thought that, like, that it was a choice and I was choosing to get high. I was choosing to get drunk in the way that I was doing. But, like, I don't know, somebody pointed out to me once that, like, if it was actually a choice, you know, some of the time I would choose no.
Right.
You know, like, some of the time I would choose no.
Can you give examples out of your own story, how you tried to control your drinking and drug use with willpower and choice and control and all those things you went through?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the example that's coming to mind is the thing about math class, right? Like, I would try to just like smoke, like, one blunt, right? Like, I would try to just get high a little bit, right? And then it made sense to, like, cut math class, right? And then next period was, like, gym or something, right? And then it was like, well, you know, like, gym doesn't really matter, you know? And then suddenly, like, someone would come outside with something else, right? Or then we would go to the liquor store, you know? And it was always, like, the third period or the fourth period or the fifth period. And suddenly, like, I'm the only one that's been outside for the 9 periods or 10 periods with the 0 period of the day, right? I'm the only one. It's like, and it, like, made sense because I had buddies that seemed to, like, drink and do drugs the way that I did.
Mm-hmm.
But I was the only one that was, like, fully out there.
Okay.
You know? Or I would...
So you're getting a glimpse of this, how your drinking and drug use is a little bit different from everyone else?
Yeah.
Starting to see that?
Yeah, and
okay.
It was like, it also did something different for me than other people, but I was a mess, right?
And you're about 15 at this point?
I was turning 15. You know, I tried to stay sober on Tuesdays, that was my thing.
Why Tuesdays?
Well, because my mom put me in Alateen, because she didn't know what was wrong with me.
Okay.
So Alateen is like Al-Anon for teenagers. And so I had my sober, or I had my Al-Anon meeting, and I feel like, or my Alateen meeting, I felt like it might be wrong to go to Alateen messed up, right?
Okay, all right.
And I just couldn't do it, you know? I just couldn't, I never made it there. When I made it there, I was totally wasted.
Mm.
I was totally messed up, sitting there talking about problems with family, you know? And
guilt big time?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I kind of drank that out, you know?
Okay, makes sense, yeah.
You know, it was just like... It was always kind of like with any problem, with anything that I was avoiding, because there was always that potential of tomorrow, you know? And it was, I mean, it was just kind of like, I'll deal with it tomorrow.
Seemed
right?
Like alcohol was that eraser for you. You
absolutely.
Know, you do drugs, you do something stupid, and then you go drink alcohol, and it kind of just erases and washes away all the guilt and remorse. Is that right?
It was temporarily, you
yeah.
know? There was always that idea of, like, tomorrow it's going to be okay.
Okay.
You know, tomorrow I'm going to get my stuff together and my grades are going to be okay because I'm a good kid, right?
Okay.
I'm just doing some stuff, right? It's okay, but I'm a good kid.
Do you think
know?
It was a phase you were going through?
Do I think it was a phase I was going through?
At that time, did you think, when you start to get a sense, something's wrong here, did you say, well, this is a phase, I'll grow out of it?
I didn't really think about it,
meanwhile,
honestly.
Let's smoke another joint and
yeah,
drink.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't
little.
Really think about it.
Okay.
Honestly, like, it was just, it all just came naturally.
You think
know?
Most kids your age don't think about it and they just kind of do it until they can't do it anymore? If they're alcoholics and addicts.
Probably. Okay. I mean, we do what comes natural. We do what makes sense.
Right.
You know? And so where this ended me is I was in a school of like 3,000 or 4,000 kids, you know, and they were having meetings about me. My relationships with my family were just totally messed up, you know? I wasn't coming home. If I was, it was like 4 o'clock in the morning. I mean, at this point, I was wearing lots of eyeliner, wasn't showering, steel-toe boots, going to punk shows, you know, beating people up, you know. I was just, I really like what Jenny said, like, I'm like, I was a shell of a human being, you know. And it just made sense, you know. It just made sense that I just wanted to die all the time, you know. Or I wanted to die when I wasn't drinking, and when I was drinking, you know, it just shut everything off, and it was like, there was still that hope. I could still hold on to that potential of like, maybe it'll be all right.
Were you suicidal at this point?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, I mean, and that's basically what happens once, when I don't have drugs and alcohol in my system, you know, and that was a problem well into getting sober, right? Like, you take away the thing that's making me feel like a human being, that makes it okay for me to get up and get out of bed in the morning, you know, that makes it okay to talk to people and do my homework, whatever. Actually, no, I wasn't really doing homework by the end, you know, but like, and it's just like, I was just raw and exposed and like had no idea how to form even a semi-coherent sentence, you know, and it was just like, it didn't matter and none of it mattered. And I just like, I mean, it was really short and I crashed really, really fast. And I was hearing voices, and I was just wasted all the time. And there was one day where I came home and there was an empty I left my bag in my parents' bedroom, it was open and there was a pack of cigarettes in it. And they approached me and I was so paranoid, and I was on like a couple day bender, and I thought that they knew everything, and I was just totally twitchy, and I just told them everything. I blurted it out and was like, oh my God, what did I just do? But there was that, there was a little bit of a sense of relief, right? Because, I mean, throughout this time, I didn't even really feel like drugs and alcohol were my problem.
Okay.
I didn't, you know, it was just like what I did to deal with whatever was really going on. You know, it was just like the side thing that I was doing, and I was like, well, maybe I should just figure out what's really wrong with me, you know? And, that didn't happen. And
obviously, so my, or you wouldn't be here.
I wouldn't be here talking about AA. They checked me into an outpatient rehab, and a weird thing happened. Like, I was trying to stay sober, and I couldn't, you know? I was trying to stay, like, I wanted to, you know, I wanted to see what it was like. I started another new school, and I was like, I'm just going to clean myself up. It's going to be fine. It's going to be cool, right? Like, I'm going to get good grades. I'm going to show up, like, because sobriety meant, like, going to class for me, you know? I was like, maybe I should do that. Like, I'm going to be, and I'm just going to see what it's like, you know, to not get wasted for, like, a little while, you know? And I found that I couldn't. And it was that moment, like, it just always made sense again, you know? And it was like, there was a part of me right before I would pick up again that was like, maybe you shouldn't do this. But like, it was totally drowned out by like, drink, you know? And, I just didn't know what was going on. And then basically they caught me. I kept coming back with dirty urines. And, I think I would try to mess with my urine analysis at my outpatient rehab. And
how long were you an outpatient for?
I was an outpatient for like 6 months, and they sent me away to treatment. I didn't want to go to rehab because I thought that was what like the real drug addicts and alcoholics, that's where they went, and that couldn't have been me. So I went there, and there was AA there, and I lied, honestly. I mean, like, I was like, there's no way that I did enough. I did enough drugs. There's no way that I drank for long enough to be an alcoholic, you know? Like, because I had this image of an alcoholic. It wasn't even like old dudes. I've heard like old dudes with raincoats in the Bowery, like homeless.
Sure.
You know, I mean, like, I got that, but I also had enough education about alcoholism. I just like always wanted to be better than I was. I always wanted to be like, I always wanted to have like the most messed up story in the room. So I would make up stories, you know? I came into AA, I lied about a sobriety date. I said that like my sobriety date was after the one that I really had because I wanted this, like, I wanted like a more dramatic bottom. I made up this like hardcore cocaine addiction that I didn't have, you know? I just lied and lied and lied. But, like, I walked into AA and, like, I don't know what it was, but, like, there was something about it that I felt really at home in, you know? And, like, people were really nice to me. And at this point, like, nobody was really nice to me. And I didn't think I was an alcoholic, but I was going to. And my parents were like, either you go to an 18-month residential or you go to AA. These are your options. I didn't even think I was actually going to stay sober. I thought I was just going to lie and, like, get high on the weekends. And
describe those early meetings for the audience out there. What was it like you to go to AA meetings? Did you go to NA at all or just AA?
Yeah, my first couple months of sobriety, I actually had a friend at the high school I was going to, and he just got out of treatment the same time I did.
Okay.
So we had a weekly NA meeting.
Okay. Were you scared when you start to attend meetings?
I feel like I wasn't drinking, so I was automatically terrified of people.
Gotcha.
But I feel like I didn't think that I belonged there anyway, you know? I was pretty sure that that wasn't my problem, you know? So,
But the people welcomed you anyway,
out, I
kind of
droned out what they were talking about anyway. Mm. And sometimes somebody would say something, and I would be like, that kind of sounds like me, you know? But then my head would kind of counteract it with, like, with all of the lies that I had told, right? And all that justification, like all of those qualifications as to why I didn't need help for this, you know? But it was just like I was coasting. I was hanging out in AA meetings. And also, I mean, I wasn't drinking and I wasn't doing drugs. And so I felt raw. I felt exposed. I felt like I wanted to kill myself. And, I mean, I relapsed a couple times sober. You know, or not sober, and then I was sober and then I was drunk. You know, like I relapsed a couple times and finally came in and was kind of like, maybe there's a problem. You know, maybe there's something. And for whatever reason, you know, I stayed sober and I started going to young people's meetings. And the last time I drank, I was 16 and I just started my junior year of high school. And I did that year, a senior year, and then another year, because when I got sober, like I didn't become the model student that I thought I was going to become. Like none of that stuff really happened. Right. And I didn't work the 12 steps at all. Like I hung out. Like, I got sober, and I found young people, and I hung out till 6 in the morning drinking coffee and smoking cigarettes and, like, talking to these people. And, like, I made connections with other human beings, and it was like I had found, like, my family. Like, I found the people that kind of talked and seemed, like, I found people that were, like, mirrors, you know? And it was really weird. It was like I'd known these people for 3 days, and it felt like I had known them my entire life.
You finally fit in.
Yeah, and I hung out, and I felt like what it was like. I mean, honestly, like, I had to break all the rules, like, sober. I had to break curfews sober, you know? I had to make mistakes sober. Like, that's kind of what it's been, right? And ultimately, like, I didn't really do any step work, and I do have alcoholism. I am an alcoholic. So I came to this point where, I mean, when I got sober, I didn't think I was going to live to my 18th birthday. And I just, like, every time the train would come, every time the subway would come, I felt like I was trying to, like, I was stopping myself from jumping in front of it, you know? And I didn't understand why. And then finally, like, I did that fifth step that people were talking about before. And I got honest about the faking sick, which is a really big thing, you know? And I got honest about all this other stuff with another human being, with the woman that sponsors me, that takes me through the steps. And she looked me in the eye and gave me a hug and told me that she loved me and she'd heard all of it, you know? And suddenly after being honest, you know, about, hey, look, this is what I lied about and then this is what actually went on, I suddenly was like, oh, my God, I'm an alcoholic.
Mm.
And I did that at like a year and a half sober, you know?
So you had to get through the inventory process and the honesty before you finally realized you were an alcoholic.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I actually remember
kind of like a, 3 or 4 steps forward and a couple step backward type deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes
I mean,
sense.
Like,
makes sense.
I mean, honestly, like in order to do a solid first step, right. Admitting you're powerless over alcohol and your life is unmanageable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, You have to be honest. I had to be honest. It was
right.
Like in doing 5, I could do 1, and then suddenly like I could do 2 and 3, and that was actually a really big thing for me.
So you had to get honest with other areas of your life before you could actually tackle the honesty of your alcoholism.
Sure.
Interesting.
Sure.
Okay.
And also in that, like, I had to fully get honest about my drug and alcohol use, you know, because I was still lying about it, you know. And what's been really great for me is that, like, I don't have to have the worst story in AA. And what's fantastic is, like, I have told my story honestly, you know, like I'm doing right now. And, like, alcoholics not only talk about the fact that they identify, but it's just, like, nobody... I was so terrified that, like, if you saw me, you know, if you could see what was really going on, right, you wouldn't want me in my life. In AA, I thought they were going to kick me out, you know? And, it's just that fundamental shame as to who I was, you know? If I, like, I didn't really feel human, but, like, as a human being, you know? This, like, black mark on my soul, mm-hmm. you know? It sounds kind of dramatic, you know? But it's, like, that's the way that I felt. And, just constantly consumed with myself and what I, the lies that I had told and what I had done to cover that up and da 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 da. And the thing about drugs and alcohol is, like, they made that go away, you know? And, I don't know. I mean, and then after that, it was just continuing the process of, like, clearing out what was there, you know? I started college sober. I'm doing really well, you know?
Cool.
I have relationships with my family. I have relationships with, I mean, like, unbelievable relationships, right? Like, I can show up and be a daughter. Like, I don't lie to my, it's just, it's amazing, you know? And this whole idea of, like, I don't know, I heard people, when I first got sober, I heard people talk about being a woman of grace and dignity. I heard women talking about being a woman of grace and dignity. Actually, it's New York City. You can hear plenty of people talking about women of grace and dignity. but I just never thought that that could be me, you know? And the idea of integrity, the idea, like, it's the idea of, like, loyalty, you know? It's just, like, it's just not a struggle, you know? And also the result of which is, like, I have had to actually, I've had an experience where I actually get to have fun, you know? I remember there's the International Conference of Young People in AA. I went to that when I was just under a year sober. That was my first one and fell in love with it was like 4,000 kids that took over a hotel, you know, and we didn't sleep for 3 days. It was like meeting in the jacuzzi, you know, and it was just like, and I just saw, like, I just ran around like a crazy person, and it was just like, I found camaraderie, I found family, and it's just like the result of which is, because it's like I've had an opportunity to be helpful, you know, in a way that I haven't, and like that's kind of what the 12 steps have really done for me, right? It's like I get to a situation in terms of like standing on lines, right? In like the post office, you know, the attitude, what I've gotten out of sobriety is that like, I don't have to stand on that line. Like I get to,
right,
you know,
right,
like
right.
I get to do this stuff. And it's like through that, like I get to have a whole new experience of like the world around me and I get to be like a person. I'm just a human being.
It's no longer something you feel like you deserve. It's a privilege now.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
and it's
so
just
cool.
Not a struggle, you know?
That's
it's
so
like
cool.
I show up, I go to class, I hang out with my friends, you know? I'm going to turn 21 in sobriety, you know? And it's just like, it's fantastic, you know? And sometimes, like, life totally happens, you know? And it's just like, I don't have to drink to feel like a human being today.
Mm.
I found something else that, like, helps me do that, you know? And, I can look people in the eye, which
Very
was, like,
cool.
ultimately, like, the biggest deal ever. Yeah.
Katya, we really appreciate your honesty tonight, and especially your enthusiasm, you know.
Absolutely.
I know that that's definitely going to rub off on somebody. How long has it been for you now?
I will have 4 years sober in 2 weeks.
Very cool.
For a week. Yeah.
Very awesome. Congratulations.
Sweet. Thank you.
We really appreciate you being here.
Thank you.